Thank you very much, choir. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. It's so easy to forget that, too. We live in a world that lulls us to sleep. We forget that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. Please join me as we finish Ephesians. We will begin reading in chapter 6, starting at verse 10. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, I hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. And I just want you to know that you don't have to stop giving thanks after Thanksgiving is over. Thanksgiving is a day not segregated so that we give thanks once a year, but to remind us that giving thanks should be a habit, should be a habit like breathing in and breathing out. Thanksgiving. And I'd also just like to encourage everyone to invite friends and family, strangers, to our Hanging of the Green service. And if you would like to join me, I will be visiting people in our community and inviting them to the Hanging of the Green. Feel free to come by the church or give us a call at the church office, and we'll set up a time when we can go together. Okay, well, let us begin Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Please read along with me. Finally, be comfortable in the Lord and in his mighty consolation. Put on the full comfort wear of God so that you can lie down during the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, nor against rulers, nor against authorities, nor against powers of this dark world, or the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. No, put on the comfort wear of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to lie down, and after you have done little, to sleep. Recline then in the long johns of warmth fitted around your waist, with the snuggie of convenience in place, with your feet fitted with the slippers of the readiness of the gospel of leisure. In addition to all this, take up the teddy bear of relaxation with which you can extinguish the calls of aid from fellow Christian soldiers. I don't really like this new translation. I think I'll go back to the NIV. I kind of like the good old NIV. Let's try that one. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, The dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. The word of God for the people of God. So today we're ending our series in Ephesians. We're ending it with a bang, with the armor of God. We began on September 14th, just the Sunday after homecoming. To some, that might feel like just the other day. To others, it might feel like it's been a while. But now we come to this great passage on the armor of God. Question. Why are we encouraged to put on the armor of God? Why armor? I mean, if I had a choice, I would probably want to put on something more comfortable. The comfort wear of God seems pretty attractive. But Paul calls us to put on armor. And we need to remember, he calls us to put on armor. The reason is, and we know it all, that there is a spiritual war waging around us. And if we don't dress appropriately, we won't make it. Throughout Ephesians, Paul has been educating us on Christ and his body. He is the head, and we are the members of this body. But too many of us look at the body of Christ, and we interpret it as the home body of Christ. But we are called to action. We're called to a mission. We're called to set captives free, to set the world free, to share the good news of Christ to those who have never heard it, to show the good news of Christ to those who have never seen it. There are people, even in this community, who fit that description. Too often we forget that we're not home bodies, we're soldiers. We're called to be soldiers of Christ. We're not in a comfortable living room, but we're on a battlefield. Sometimes I think that there's a carbon monoxide leak in the American church, and we're all just laying around. How long would a group of home bodies last on a battlefield? Well, you know, as I know, that they would be picked off one by one by the enemy. And I fear that we might be lulled to sleep by our own inattentiveness. May that never be. We are soldiers for Christ. A church full of home bodies is a church that will not survive very long. A church full of soldiers of God, those who are constantly being attentive in their personal lives, those who are meeting new people and sharing the gospel, those who are advancing into new territory, trying new things, taking new chances, that kind of church has a chance. It has a chance. Because you know that there are no guarantees in war. It is often chaotic, and it never turns out as you plan. And that is what we are in here today. We are in a war. Here in America, here in the world, here at Mount Hermon. Our battle is with rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, with spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, who seek to divide, to dismember, to destroy the body of Christ. Do not expect it to be easy. And Paul, if anyone, knew this. This is why he ends his letter with the armor of God. A small fledgling church in Ephesus struggling with all sorts of division and theological heresies and all. His last thing he tells them is a bit of practical theology. Put on what you have learned. Let it protect you. All that you've learned in these last 5 chapters, put it on. Practical truth, righteousness, readiness, faith, salvation, the Spirit, prayer. Don't leave your armor at the door when you leave. No, says Paul, keep it on. You're entering a battlefield, and your life and the lives of others around you depend on it. Hold your ground. Fight. Advance your ground. Fight. The time to fight is now. But we will not fight forever. The time to fight is now, but we will not fight forever. Our Master, our Savior, our Lord, our CO, our Commander-in-Chief, will come again and make all things new. And this is what we remember today on Advent, the first week of Advent. While today marks the end of an Ephesians series and a call to fight the good fight, today also marks the beginning of Advent and a call to patient endurance. A good soldier has a healthy zeal to fulfill his or her mission, but a good soldier also has patient endurance, must practice patience. On this first week of Advent, we remember this calling from our Lord to exercise patience. Advent means coming. Christ has come and Christ will come again. Christ came 2,000 years ago and we remember this. But we also mark the time when we look forward to him coming again. We remember the hope candle that calls us to patiently hope. We hope in the coming of Christ. We join with the prophets who promised the coming of Christ the first time and the coming of Christ a second time in Scripture. We join these prophets in patiently waiting. They were faithful in their patience, and we are faithful in ours. But how do we wait? What do we do to wait? It seems a bit oxymoronic to ask that sort of question. What do we do to wait? It reminds me of a saying that I heard often in the Navy, hurry up and wait. Whenever we needed to wait for something, and we often had to, we would be called to hurry up and wait. But what does it mean to wait as Christians? Well, the way we faithfully wait for Christ to come in the future is to faithfully serve Christ in the present, to put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes today. Paul's last exhortation to the church in Ephesus until Christ's return is his last exhortation to us as we read Ephesians, to wait. Today, we celebrate and ordain one of us to be a faithful soldier of Christ, to put on the full armor of God, to receive the responsibility of exhorting others to put on that armor, to help lead the church and to exhort us not to be homebodies, but to be soldiers. The office of the deacon was introduced very early in the church in Acts chapter 6. The apostles needed help keeping the church and the mission of the church on track. And so they appointed seven among them who were full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom to be deacons. And the congregation agreed. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This morning, we will affirm that the same gifts that the early church saw in their first seven deacons, we also see in Jamie Yeisley today. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom, the gift to care for the underprivileged, and the gift of faithful service as a soldier of Christ. Jamie, we look to you in your faithfulness as a GA leader, as a leader in children's ministry, as a leader in leading yourself in holy life in Christ, and a myriad of other tasks that you've done with and without recognition. I've only known you for a few months, but I do see this faithfulness in you. And I'm confident and excited to include you among our faithful deacons here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church. To be a deacon is hard work, but it is rewarding work. And I feel that you are fit to the calling. This morning, we will begin the ordination of Jamie Yeisley among the deacons of Mount Hermon Baptist Church. And Jamie, I'd like to call you forward as we begin this.
The Lord Jesus said, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be the first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." On behalf of the congregation, in the name and for the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come now to commission and ordain Jamie Yeisley, whom we have chosen through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jamie, do you believe that you are called by God through this congregation and to the servant office of deacon? If so, please say, "I do." Having been chosen, will you devote yourself to prayer, studying God's word, and ministering in the name of Christ? Will you practice biblical stewardship, committing your time, energy, and money to the church, thereby modeling authentic Christian leadership among the people of this church? If you do, say, "I will." Jamie, will you, with all your faithfulness, perform the duties of this calling of deacon? Will you be present at deacons' meetings, provide leadership in worship when called upon, be steadfast in your Bible study and worship attendance, fully participate in one of the established deacon ministry teams, and commit to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ? If so, say, "I do." As a called out and chosen servant, will you have a special sensitivity to human need, helping the poor, listening to those who are lonely, praying for and witnessing to those who are lost or have left the fold of God, and comforting those who are grieving? If so, say, "I do." If you affirm Jamie's decision and vows, please join me in saying, "Amen."
Amen.
Now, in the name of him who came not to be served, but to serve, we set aside this servant of yours and of the household of faith. In the name and power of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I encourage you in this moment to come forward. We will have Jamie sitting in the middle. She will be serving amongst us, and so she will sit amongst us. And I'd like to ask the chairman of the deacons to bring the chair forward. And those who are moved to lay hands and say a blessing and prayer to Jamie, I ask that you come forward through the outer aisles and form a line down the middle aisle. Jamie?
Thank you.
behalf of the deacons and Mount Hermon Baptist Church, we'd like to present you with a wonderful Deacon Study Bible with your name already on it.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for bringing Jamie to this family, for giving her a new life, a new purpose in life, and giving her as our sister. Lord, we ask that you fill her with your Holy Spirit, the only way that we can fulfill your mission in this world, the only way that we can live holy lives. We ask that you fill Jamie with your Spirit, Spirit of wisdom and of revelation, so that she may know you better and that she may witness faithfully to you and to others. Lord, thank you for this deacon who will serve us faithfully. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is an example for us all in service. Amen. Thank you, Jamie. There may be one among us today that has yet to experience this family of God that we're called into, and this great mission, this mission that is beyond us, but is commissioned to us to save the world through Christ. If you would like to experience this great family of God, or if you would like to join this small family we call Mount Hermon Baptist Church, I encourage you to come forward during this hymn of invitation.
Hymn number 181, Who at My Door is Standing. My door is standing, patiently drawing near. Entrance within demanding, close the voice I hear. Sweetly the tones are calling, open the door. Thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me
must put on the armor of God. Join me